Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and we're here celebrating the octave of Christmas together. I've had the privilege this week so far of having with us a very good friend of mine, and Anthony Fiola, who's the Director of Adult Discipleship at Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor, my parish. And I've asked Anthony to come. He's just a wonderful, wonderful Bible teacher, and we're kind of making our way through some of the key themes of this season, of this Christmas season. So welcome back, Anthony.
It's good to be back.
Yeah, now we talked about the, in particular yesterday, you talked to us about St. Stephen, going back to December 26th when the church rocks our world, going right from the nativity to the martyrdom of St. Stephen, presenting us picture of a quintessential disciple. What is the road to discipleship? What does ultimate discipleship look like? And you kind of opened that up for us. And do you have any thoughts on that as we begin today, as we continue to go deeper?
Yeah, I'd like to just kind of finish up the story a little bit. As Stephen is somebody who has received the fullness of the grace.
Yeah.
And has really, truly, fully conformed to the Lord and gone all the way. All the way. So we ended yesterday just as he was being stoned. And if you listen now and just imagine this, try to enter into the story of, okay, he's being stoned to death. And it says this in the scriptures, but he, speaking of Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened. Which reminds me of the St. Irenaeus quote that I gave yesterday. Christ opened heaven for us in the manhood that he assumed. Behold, I see the heavens opened. And who was standing there? The Son of Man was standing at the right hand of God. And as they're stoning him, this is what he says. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I mean, who does that sound like?
Yeah.
That's exactly what Jesus said on the cross.
Yeah.
You know, and he kneels down. And with a loud voice, he cries out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And again, we see just him conforming to the Lord, who from the cross said, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And he basically forgives them in the moment. I mean, only a person who has been fully conformed to the Lord can do that. But this is the power of the incarnation in a person's life. And then he dies, and immediately his soul goes to meet the Lord.
He also, had a vision. Did I miss that? The vision where he saw Jesus at
I mentioned that.
Oh, you did? I'm sorry. How did I miss that?
Gazed into heaven, saw the glory of God.
There we go. Yep.
Jesus standing at the right hand of God. It's good to hear it again, though.
Yes, it is. Yes. I must have been thinking of the next thought.
So, I mean, he's there in union with the Lord.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And until the resurrection of the body, when we all come to meet him body and soul, but in open heaven, because of the incarnation, has made it possible for us to fully conform and come into union with Jesus. This is the purpose of it all. And I love what the Catechism says. It says this, that only when Christ is formed in us will the mystery of Christmas be fulfilled in us. And then it goes on to say, Christmas is the mystery of what the Church Fathers call the marvelous exchange. Man's creator has become man, born of the Virgin, and we have been made sharers in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share our humanity. So I'd say it this way, Christmas means conformity to Christ. This is the example of Stephen. We could go throughout the Acts of the Apostles and see it in Paul, Peter, men, and there's plenty of women too that had fully given themselves over to the Lord, asked him to be Lord of their life, let him be Lord of their life, and they conform to him sometimes in very radically similar ways, going all the way. This is what it means to be a disciple.
Yeah, and there's just, it's a glimpse of the power of faith. Stephen believed with everything he had.
Mm-hmm.
the teaching of Jesus, what Jesus revealed, and can only get there to that level with the help of the Holy Spirit. No one can say Jesus is Lord
except by the Holy
Spirit, right? And so he's recognizing, living in, declaring, celebrating, discerning what it means that Jesus Christ is Lord. And he understands now that he's united to the Lord through the Holy Spirit. He's in the body of Christ. He received the down payment of the new creation of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. The new life is there. And so he's not afraid of death. He's not afraid of dying. Mm-mm. And this is a critical thing because this is the battleground, one of the great weapons that the devil wields against humanity to lead it into slavery and to keep it in the condition of slavery and ultimately to darkness. Yeah. Is it Hebrews chapter 2, I think verse 14, where it says, the writer of Hebrews says, the devil's strategy to enslave the human race through the fear of death. And death is a dominion. It's a disordered energy. One wonderful priest, I remember Father Francis Martin used to talk about it that way, a disordered energy that brings people, we fight against it our whole life.
Yes.
We're trying to stave it off, push it back further and further and further. And whatever I can grasp in this world that's going to give me some sense of security against sickness, age, you know, dying, the mystery that I might die tomorrow in a car accident, whatever it is, that's a shadow of death. That then the devil tries to say, this is your destiny, you know, this is what your life is meaningless because it's going into darkness and all of that. And the light shines in the darkness, right? Is what you began the week with, right?
Yep. John chapter one.
And there's a line in there in particular, two things that I remember that really stuck out. We didn't have time to talk about it on Monday, but the one where it says, in him was life, and the light was the light of men, of human beings, right? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. So the darkness and shadow of death, that was it Simeon or a lady, you know, that in one of the canticles, you know, that talks about we're under the shadow of death so clearly. So you say, what is the light? So we have this season of light. Christmas lights everywhere.
Yeah.
We're celebrating the light in the darkness. So what is it referring to? It's referring to this life that has come that cannot be overcome. The life of God, the eternal life of God, the divine life of God enters the human condition. That's what brings light. And the light that's revealed is the light of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the light of God, the fullness of God, the true God. And so it also reveals that Christianity is new life. It's not just more books added onto the Bible. It's not just a moral system. It's not just another philosophical way of looking and trying to figure out the mystery of life. No, this is God reveals himself to us and then gives us his life so that we can live it with him and understand him and understand ourselves. And that's the light, and I think sometimes a lot of people miss it when we listen to the prologue because there's so much in the prologue of John. But in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and darkness not overcome it. So our light is this life, and Christianity is new life. It's new creation.
Amen. And it's the canticle of Zechariah.
Yes,
I won't read the whole thing, but it says, picking up in the middle, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, speaking of John the Baptist, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people and the forgiveness of their sins through the tender mercy of God, when the day shall dawn upon us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Right. And so instead of death, that disordered energy that destroys our peace and fills us with fear and causes us to run after distractions and things that can preoccupy us and satisfy us and all of that. And we have no peace in it. You know, money doesn't bring peace.
No.
Alcohol doesn't bring peace. Sex doesn't bring peace. Power doesn't bring peace. Popularity doesn't bring peace. None of the idols ultimately bring peace. There's temporary power in it. It's like look at me, look at what I'm having.
A
numbing effect and a big distraction, right? But you always land back into reality. And what's not there under those idols is peace.
Yeah.
And this one of the things every heart desires. Like, into actual integration and peace and quiet in the soul, and only comes from the gift of God.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth.
Mm.
We beheld His glory, glories of the only begotten Son of the Father.
Yeah. We beheld His glory. Here's a question I have for you. In the prologue, mm-hmm. there's that beautiful line, "We beheld His glory," is what John says, right?
Yeah.
And then he, same letter in 1 John, he begins by, "What we've seen, what we've touched, we've heard, we declare to you that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us." So they saw the reality of Jesus' resurrection. Mm-hmm. And I mean, they saw His glory while He was alive with them too, but in the resurrection, they actually saw Him and touched Him. And that's the glory that they're talking about, the fullness of the glory that they were able to receive,
yeah.
you know? So how do we connect with seeing it, you know, and sharing in it at some level? How does that happen in our lives?
I think it begins with asking mm-hmm. in prayer, just honestly going before the Lord and saying, "Lord, open my eyes, help me to see." Because I believe all in the truths that the Word of God is presenting to us are understood through revelation, and that is an action of the Spirit of God in our life. One practical way to do that is think about the mysteries of the life of Jesus. For example, as Catholics, we pray through these in the rosary every week mm-hmm. from his birth all the way through the resurrection of the body, taking time as we're meditating on the scriptures about these things and begin with saying, "Lord, help me to see. Open my eyes and help me to see. Do whatever you have to do inside of me to make this clear for me. Open my eyes. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God." Hmm. Because when that spirit of revelation hits you in your heart, in the depths of your spirit, you can't unsee those things when the Lord has done that. It's very much like the scripture I'm thinking of now is in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus comes to His disciples and says, "Who do men say that I am?" And they answer, "Well, some say John the Baptist is from the dead, Elijah, one mm-hmm. of the prophets." And He's like, "Who do you say that I am?" And this is when the Apostle Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answers him, says, "Blessed are you, Simon, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven has revealed this to you." And the same is in the resurrection in Luke 24. They didn't recognize Him in His resurrected form right away. He's walking with the guys on the road to Emmaus. They'd been with Him for 3 years, but He's risen from the dead, and He's walking with them, and they still don't see Him. They don't know it's Him yet. And they don't until the breaking of the bread, when He opens their eyes.
Yeah.
So there's something about the resurrected Lord that He has to be the one to open your eyes to see things clearly. And I think that begins with saying, "Lord, do that.
Yeah.
Do the real thing
yeah.
in me."
And it really is one of the fundamental missions of the Holy Spirit
yeah.
to unveil the glory and majesty of Jesus
mm-hmm.
and bring to us an experiential knowledge, like an experience of His majesty and His glory. And we'll get glimpses of it if we ask
yeah.
over time. He'll show us.
Amen.
And it's really transforming. We might talk about that a little bit more tomorrow. I think it'd be more helpful. I mean, it'd yeah. be a helpful thing for our listeners too, and just for us to kind of celebrate it too in this season of light, which continues to shine. But friends, hope you can join us tomorrow. Anthony will be with us once again. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, "Does God Judge?" Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once, and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future, and it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.